This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we have got plenty to get into today. It is the Christmas Eve. Whatever. We're somewhere in the crew advent calendar. I don't know how many boxes are left. There's two or three
Thursday
of those.
Thursday would be Christmas Eve Eve.
Friday's Christmas Eve.
Wednesday, today, Christmas Eve Eve Eve.
Yes. Almost Eve 6, but not quite.
Three Eves. Eve 3.
Eve 3, not Eve 6. So we will, of course, have thoughts on the upcoming crew season. We will have some thoughts on the Champions League. However, Champions League, weird. This is, as you know, we've talked about, the playoff situation is happening. There are more games to be played on the day that we're recording this.
Yep.
Those games will be done by the time you probably hear this. However, we thought about recording on Thursday because of that. Then we realized we wouldn't know the seedings anyway until Friday. And then we threw up our hands and said, F it, next week. We'll actually have a more thorough breakdown of the Champions League matchups that will actually, because then from then on, it will make sense. It will be back to what we are used to with
back
Champions
to normal.
League. Yeah. Also, if you hear a popping and clicking on this thing, it's not because this turned into a vinyl record. It's because we've had issues with our.
Good. You guys are having it too. Because I had it this morning in the on-air studio. Shark's been having it in the other studio.
Yeah, it's just a problem that unfortunately engineering has as yet to fully fix.
I don't know if anybody can hear it other than us, even.
I don't know either. I know that it's definitely annoying.
It's a minor distraction.
If you do this for a living and you're used to having clean and clear audio, it's a very, yeah. So we know there's a little, pretend you're listening on your vinyl record player if you have one of those. And
yeah.
Just, yeah. Call it a day.
How's your week been?
It's been good. we're in the midst of my eighth grader. Will be a ninth grader next year.
Wow, man.
That's how math works. So we are now, and I didn't even anticipate this being a thing until the last few weeks. I kind of started to get the vibes. It's class selection, you know, because we don't want to screw up the path of our, again.
The path that starts at the age of, you know, like 18 months.
Right. But it's like, you know, you have that with sports where it's like, oh my God, they're three and they haven't started playing soccer. Are they going to make it to play in the Premier League? It's like, you know
no.
what? Even if they do start playing at three, probably not. Like most of these people are not going to play soccer professionally. You're not, your kid's probably not getting a scholarship, whatever. Like if your kid is, great, good for you. It's not because you started playing at three. You know what I mean? Something clicked somewhere. And so I have to remind myself of that at all facets of child rearing. Same thing if your kid is like a Rhodes Scholar and ends up being on the Dean's List at college and gets a great job and all that. That might be because you picked the right classes, say, for their freshman year. Or it might be because they were just intelligent. They had a work ethic. They got some good breaks. All the above, right? It's not any one thing. But us, last night, trying to figure out if we need to do, what was this? It was either biology or like physical science.
Okay.
I don't even know the difference. I'm dumb enough that I don't know the difference. I assume physical science.
Well, look at what we do for a living. Of course we're dumb enough.
I assume physical science is like all of the world, and then biology is like specifically animals and life and plants and all that stuff.
So, amoebas.
But the oldest has it on her list of things she might want to do is be a vet.
Okay.
So then it was like, I thought biology, but then you read the stuff and they're like, actually, if they haven't taken this, then they need to take this first. Then they can take, and it's like,
you know, they have counselors for that.
Yeah, we've not had the best of luck there.
Okay.
So that's just what,
okay.
We were actually asking the oldest because she's gone and talked to the counselor multiple times and the counselor has looked at her multiple times and said,
ask your parents.
No, she literally said like, that's a really good question. And then no, like, I'll get back to you on that, or I'm going to call your parents or send them an email with some info. It's just, wow, that's a really good question.
Glad you brought it up.
She also was frustrated because her guidance counselor apparently also, when she was like, my oldest was asking, do you think I do a good enough job in school that I could take this honors course in English? And the guidance counselor was like, you can do anything you put your mind to. She's like, That's not what I'm asking.
I'm like, asking you if I can take this honors
you
class.
Have my grades and transcripts. Do you have a feeling that kids in my position? So like she had a real concern last night. I'm like, you know what, kid? That's actually good. That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm mad at her too. I'm mad at this guidance counselor as well. So sure, she's just doing her job. Sure, she's great. Don't at me. If you are the guidance counselor and you've been listening to this podcast, I'm really sorry. All I'm saying is,
do your job.
No, it's just a confusing time for all of us, is what I'm saying. Yeah, and we're probably putting way too much thought into this. The reality is they're not going to let the kid just slip through the cracks.
You
right?
know, so. I like to have an output, my thought in life now as I wade deeper into the underwater, is that it's fine.
It's right. Fine. Oh, yeah. But the hope that I don't want to crush in my kids is like, look, at the end of the day, none of this matters. Like, I'm trying not to give them that until I want them to earn that because I had fine. To earn it. I ultimately have come to the conclusion, yes, we're spinning in a vacuum on a rock that happens to have some oxygen and plant life.
It's fine.
And I'm glad it's working out largely for us. But
life sucks, then you die. That's my middle school German teacher who said that to me.
So, you know,
and I've kept that through my entire life.
That really tracks that. Like that would be like a language teacher just saying that, like, hey, listen, I'm not trying to BS you here. Just get through this class. Come on. We all just do this and then we die.
Yeah, that's it.
No, but we literally had that talk where it's like, hey, if we don't get the right class for you in your freshman year, there is time to figure it out and
get
it right.
There's plenty of time.
And also college and also jobs.
It's also time for you not to figure it out and spiral out of control. There's time for that.
I was trying to remind her that, like, we have so many friends of ours, adult friends who are our age in our 40s, who are like, oh, yeah, I went to school for this. That's not what I do.
No.
You know? So we're like, even if you get the major and everything you think you want, doesn't mean that's what you're going to end up doing. So. We have a friend who went for like international relations. She's a lawyer now. Went back
Good
to school.
Her.
Like got out of school, did a whole other career path, said, I don't like this, went back to school, became a lawyer in her 40s, and now she's a lawyer.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're like, you can always figure it out. There's always time.
There's always, yeah, you have plenty of time to pivot.
And also secretly that none of this matters. Just just stay here. Just stay alive. Just be with us. That's what matters. That's what we care about.
That's all you got.
All right, so that's a real optimistic way to get into, hey, the new crew season. Nothing matters, and
then
we're
you
all
die.
Gonna die.
Life sucks, then you die. That's it.
Hopefully
we can have some fun along the way.
You know what? I think the best spot to be in right now is if you are a goalkeeper who has pro soccer talent. This could be your week because it seems like the crew, we have re-signed Patrick Schulte. Big news there. I like Patrick Schulte. That's good for the crew. If you're not going to have much of an offense, you need to have someone who can stop shots, and he can do that. He's very talented.
We're actually, I think, going to talk to Patrick Schulte tomorrow on our morning show.
Great.
I'll talk to either Patrick Schulte or Sean Zawadzki. I don't know.
There you go.
One of those guys.
Two guys who are going to be huge factors for the crew this year, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. Massive, not to be punny, but yeah, that is going to be a storyline throughout this year, right? Is that Patrick Schulte now being signed does mean if he is going to transfer at some point, if European clubs that keep sniffing around, that means you're going to get guaranteed that you're going to get more for him because of the length of time he is under contract. So that would seem to bode well for the crew, even if he does have to leave.
I also am interested to know the conversations because there's a realistic opportunity that by the time that we get to the World Cup next year, that Patrick Schulte could be the starting keeper.
Absolutely right.
For the United States men's national team. So I also want to know how big of an influence Mauricio Pochettino was on that decision. Do you want to go somewhere in Europe? Do you want to go the Matt Turner, Zach Steffen route, where you go over
and
to
how's
Europe,
that worked out?
You're not maybe going to get time and you're not going to get games, or on the run-up, do you want to stay here for a year and however long Patrick Schulte wants to stay here, whatever the contract may be, but do you want to get games? Do you want to get minutes? Do you want to be sharp by the time that we get there?
I don't think there's any question that, especially with goalkeepers, I mean, you can be the starting you can be the starting keeper for your national team and play in MLS, no problem, because you're seeing shots. Yeah. Like, you are, it's about being fresh, having that reaction time. I don't think it helps at all to go to Europe and then be like, oh, look, I have a much more expensive crest on my jersey as I'm sitting on the bench or I'm being loaned out to second division, championship level, whatever teams. that's not ideal. So, but even then, if you're getting loaned out, at least you're playing.
Correct.
Like, sitting on the bench does nothing for me. And I don't know.
He won't be sitting on the bench here.
No, absolutely not. But even if he goes to Europe and then instantly, unless they're bringing you over to be the starting goalkeeper in a Premier League team, that to me just does nothing. And I think if that was going to be the case, he would have transferred out in the winter.
Yeah.
Just because that gets you you don't get a break until the summer, but then you're playing pretty much up to the World Cup after this summer. If you're going to transfer this summer, that means you would have had a whole winter off and then a whole summer off in the run-up to like where you need to be showing that you're in form and ready. Yeah. So this gives him, it would track that maybe there's not a transfer looming, because you would think if that was the case, it would have been earlier this summer. It would have been in the offseason this year. But then again, I thought there was no chance Cucho Hernandez was getting transferred because they were showing him in all of the run-up and all the Instagram training photos and then gone. So never say never, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Life sucks and you die.
Sorry to bring that up.
I was watching Real Betis the other day. Anthony scoring a banger. He's got 4 goals and assists in 4 games, and Cucho's looking good.
I did say something that was inaccurate because I think said this at least on our podcast. Maybe I said it on the air, but I said something to the effect of he's going over there to be a backup. He is not, as of now, a backup. He is starting, which is good. I am glad to see that. He got the number 19. Did get the number 9. But
I got the number 9 from Supporter Supply.
Yeah, we have to thank Morgan Hughes and Kevin and everybody over there at Supporter Supply. Shrek, I guess that would be the other person who's over there at Supporter Supply. There's 3 of them. But thank you guys for sending us Bone and Beam United soccer jerseys. We put this picture up on our Twitter handle. I don't know if there's any plans. I don't know. They just made them for us. It was very nice. Morgan said he was testing out
limited run
new material. Thank you. It was really cool for us to get those. And he redid our logo a little bit too.
Looks great.
Yeah, they're talented. Go figure.
Of course they are. I was looking on their website the other day when they tweeted or Instagrammed about their new stuff for the 2025 season.
New line for black and gold season.
Getting Willie a Cappies.
Oh, there you go.
Cappies uniform.
Yeah. We're going to the home opener, me and Melissa.
Good.
It's crazy. My sister-in-law and her girlfriend moved to town. And then they bought us for Christmas tickets to the Crew home opener. And I was like, what a nice gesture. Like, because I go to games when I want to, but it was nice that they did that. And then I'm looking at Melissa like, isn't this great? And she's like, it's in February.
It's
like,
fine. It'll be 40 degrees on Saturday.
Well, then I realized her sister could have bought these as a gift for us, knowing full well how much Melissa hates the cold. Just as like, oh, yeah. Jonathan's going to have fun, is what she would call me. She would call me T-Bone. And then Melissa's going to be, like, freezing, and this is great. This is the Christmas gift for both of them.
Your daughter sat through a Crew home opener a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Melissa can do it. It's just more about, she's reached the point in life where it's like, but do I want to sit in the cold?
Get her to the booze blanket.
That's what I say. Yeah. Well, we've got friends going. We're going to meet up, and hopefully we'll get the drinks in. She's not going to be driving, so she can enjoy.
Perfect.
I'll be fine. And then, you know, I bring my own blubber to cover it all.
I thought you were going to say, I bring my own liquor anyway. So.
Oh, I wish. No, I'm not that brave. I don't sneak anything in.
I don't
they got
either.
Those scanners now. I don't know what the scanners see.
I don't either.
Because they're always looking at a tablet. There could be nothing on that
tablet.
They're
very intimidating.
But I believe that tablet can see, like, my liver.
Yeah.
Like, it can tell how much alcohol is in there.
In your body
yeah,
right
how
now.
Much I'm processing
50%.
Out. yeah. So.
I'm excited for you. That'll be fun.
It should
be
Greg fun.
Greg coming back into town, Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for all of this to get. Yeah, that'll be an atmosphere, right? There should be a good atmosphere for it. I am very
interested to see the on-field situation.
I'm very curious to see what the reaction of the fans are given. I mean, obviously the fans are going to be supportive of the team. It's not the guys on the field's fault that more hasn't been done this offseason, but Issa Tall, Crew GM, who, like we've talked about, he's only been on the job less than a year and really not a ton of high-profile transfers in his time. I didn't blame him in the summer, clearly, but in the winter you thought, all right, what's going to happen? Losing Cucho definitely changes things for this organization.
Christian Ramirez changes things for this organization.
Well, that's the one, too, that just seems like if you're going to make that move, you have to have some kind of deal lined up sooner than later. I know they brought in like an international spot. They're lining things up. It looks like, I'm sure, to make some big moves in the summer. And maybe there are some MLS moves still to come. But, yeah, that it's going to be – I think that's going to be where a lot of Crew fans for the first few weeks are going to say, all right, we need to see what this offense is. Not that there isn't talent here. Not correct. That – and we know Wilfried Nancy's system. Like, these guys know how to play it, which does work in their benefit. But the most maddening thing you can have is those empty bucket possessions where you're just kicking it around the 18 and no one can actually finish. No one can get a good ball in. And even if you get a good ball in, there's no one on the end of it. I hope that's not what we're in for. I hope we're not in for a bunch of like 1-0 type of games, because it just takes one mishap. And we saw this defense prone to mishaps at times last year. So yeah, we still have a lot of talent back there, but we were talking before the offseason kind of started. We were saying how you got to take a look at the Zawadzki, Darlington Nagbe. You know,
that was like thing number one on our list.
Yeah. Well, again, because we were like, hopefully Cucho stays.
Well, that was number one on our list.
Well, yeah. But we were saying if that doesn't happen, then this is the other thing that, not that they're bad now, but you got to be prepared for the future. Well, now we're in like, oh, crap. There's really not a target forward up there that whatever you, with Cucho being more of a false nine, like you've lost a lot of scoring ability off this team, and you're going to have to show Crew fans how you plan to replace that. So moving Max Arfston up or things like that, sure, could be interesting, could help. But I think there are issues with this roster right now. And I hope that they don't wait until the summer transfer window to address all of them. I hope there are some MLS moves.
I did think it was interesting. So, I mean, I think you can gather by the tone of these recent shows that we've been doing that maybe like necessarily we're not the highest that they've ever been. We're not the highest that we've ever been on the Crew. I did find this to be fascinating just to see what odds makers are thinking about this and how they're identifying this team and looking at it. If you had to take a guess, where would you slot? I don't even know how many teams MLS is totally up to right now. 31.
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
If you had to take a guess, is where the Crew are slotted as far as favorites in league-wide total to win MLS Cup, where would you place them out of those teams?
Based on what I know about the roster now, I mean, I would maybe have us, I would hope top half, but I mean, there are just major questions about this team, the way they're going to score goals. And I don't think you can underestimate Cucho took so much off of the rest of the team that guys who had good numbers and things like that, now the attention falls on them and there's no one to relieve that. So like Diego Rossi, very talented player, but I don't know that his totals look the same if he's not playing next to Cucho. We're going to find out, I guess. But yeah, I would say like top 12. I would be up for like top 12, top 10.
Miami is number one at plus 390 odds.
So to win it all.
To win MLS Cup. This is to win, win the cup. LAFC is at 6-1 odds. The LA Galaxy, your reigning MLS Cup champions, are at plus 750. The Crew are fourth in league-wide at 10-1 odds.
All right. I mean, I guess that shouldn't totally surprise me, right? Because this Crew team has been good for the last go back to the time, the post-Berhalter era, but even you could throw Berhalter's era in there too. They were always a playoff team pretty much throughout the Berhalter era. The Caleb Porter years, we know there were hiccups, but they won Cup. They won MLS Cup.
And, bust, big time.
And they should have been playoff teams at least one of those 2 years. I don't think the roster was good both years, but they should have at least one of those years been a playoff team. And then since Nancy has come in, all they've done has been excellent.
Yeah. So scoring goals, broke MLS record for goals scored last year.
I mean,
points accrued, I think, in the history of the franchise, like everything.
Absolutely. So it stands to reason that this Crew team will still be, I don't think at any way you or I, either of us, are saying they're not as currently situated. If they don't make a single move through the summer, I think they still have a very good chance to make the playoffs.
I agree with that.
But I don't think they do much beyond that. I think they would be lucky to get out of the first round. They were lucky to get out of it last. They didn't get out of it last year.
No, they
with
didn't.
All the talent they had. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, being down on them is being down on them because we have championship level expectations.
The standard is the standard.
We've been talking about the window since last year, right? That
enjoy it. Enjoy
it while it lasts. You don't know when it's going to be up. And now, not that it's up, but like they're going to have to fix if they want to beat Miami in an Eastern Conference final.
You want to beat Red Bulls.
Well, yeah, right. If you want to, but also if you want to go out and beat the Galaxy or LAFC again, like, these teams have firepower. They are very good. And there will be a couple teams that we're not thinking about that will come back too, because there have been a lot of teams that made
Vancouver.
Some moves. Yeah, and I'm not even, you know, FC Cincinnati's going to be tough. It's not like they suck now. Like, they're very good too.
They're
like,
right behind you at the odds, by the way, at 12-1.
Right. So, like, you've got the rivalry games you still have to win. You've got, yeah. It's going to be a very uphill climb this year for the Crew if they don't get reinforcements. I am very excited to see what the reinforcements are. There was a rumor about a player out of...
Did we start this?
Well, not that rumor.
Oh, okay.
Did you see the rumor about... Was it Palmeiras, I want to say,
yeah,
in Brazil?
I think it was.
There was a player from there that is like... And he's like 6'3", like a big, you know, seems like a target forward type guy, but... The sell-on fee they were talking, or the transfer fee they were kind of referencing in the story I saw, which again was mostly rumor, right? But I mean, it looked like he would be a $10+ million transfer was what they were valuing him as. Who knows if that's what would be accurate, but I don't know. I would be shocked to see the Crew make that level of move. I would think if they're going to spend double-digit millions on a transfer, I have no inside info on this. I'm just speculating here. If you're spending double-digit millions on a transfer, it's for someone who pulls strings and who does, like a Cucho or like a Lucas El Rayon, more so than a guy who's like going to stand at the top of the box
and just banging
goals. Like Christian Ramirez. Like, I just feel like you can find a Christian Ramirez like for like through MLS or through, like, you know, second division soccer in Europe and get a guy over here for a few million transfer, as opposed to, I don't think you're breaking the bank for that guy to find a replacement for Christian Ramirez.
Yeah, you're breaking the bank for a guy who's going to be an advanced playmaker, like what we saw when you brought Lucas in and then when you brought Cucho in, guy who can play the entire field.
Yeah, and I don't really care where that guy comes from. I don't care if he comes from your academy, but you have to find that guy. And Diego Rossi is capable of being that guy somewhat, and he does a lot of running. He does so many good things off the ball. I'm not at all down on Diego Rossi. It's just...
You need someone else to make it work with him.
I mean, the Crew logo that we had with the two of, you know, Cucho, Diego Rossi, and Christian Ramirez, that, like, Crew logo pose that they did with the hard hats, you know, that idea, it's like, you've lost two of the guys in that
picture. It's a one-man wrecking crew now.
Right? Like, and I hope the replacements are in the building, but I think you gotta do something more. So
I do think it was pretty interesting listening to Issa Tall talk about the academy, though.
Oh, yeah, he seems very high on that.
Like, these guys, you know, we always say that the future, you know, the future is going to be good here. He's like, well, the future is now for some of these players. So I think that will be an interesting look into, and maybe not necessarily the opener bone or the first month of the season, but, like, when we get into the summer and you're playing these games and you will have injuries, you know, like, guys will always go down, and how these young players step up and how they acclimate themselves into the Crew senior system and into Wilfried Nancy's style.
And I want to believe, and I know a lot of Cappies fans will tell you how great the development has been. There are a ton of good players in the system for the Crew,
which
there
is
a lot
awesome.
Of young players. And that's right. That is good. But there is no way for me to look at that as a Crew fan and say, oh, the Haslams are tightening the purse strings. When you start talking about the academy, as much as I understand, he has to be up on all of it. He has to be high on all of that. The academy, to me, is like that. Your high end that you get there, and he was great, is an Aiden Morris out of that. But what's going to happen with those guys?
Yeah, but imagine if you have six or seven of those guys compared to one.
Awesome. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that be the type of breakthrough you have. But what I'm pointing to is, even then, you have them for a few years max, and then they're going to want to go to Europe, especially if they're a talent that could replace Cucho Hernandez. Yeah.
I was not talking about the Cucho replacement coming from the academy.
I know that.
I know what
but
you mean.
I'm saying, if you have someone who can score goals at the rates that, let's say, Christian Ramirez did with this team, and they're 19, 20 years old, they won't be here very long.
Wow, that'll be a multi-tens of millions of dollar deal.
That's what I'm saying.
Somewhere else.
So that's... I hope that guy exists. I would love for that guy to pop through. But, yeah, obviously they're going to have to spend money, and the window is closed for them to spend big money in Europe for right now. So this first part of the season is going to be very interesting. So that is our at least my part of the Crew preview is, hang on tight and
– hold your ass.
Yeah, a lot of –
get
lot
to
of
the
like,
summer.
Okay. Like, I hope they can be – if they can stay in a top – let's say top six position through June.
Eastern Conference top six?
Yeah. Yeah, not even the league. Just top six in the Eastern Conference. fighting for a playoff spot, and then you get reinforcements, I'll be very happy with that. Not that I, not because I think that's where the Crew should be. I'm just being realistic about this roster right now. And I would love for this roster to prove me wrong. I don't know. How do you feel? Is that an, is that too low of an expectation?
I'm top four.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm top four.
You're frustrated if we're not top four in June, if we're like seven or eight.
I'm not frustrated if we're not top four. I think that with the players that you have, with them playing under Wilfried Nancy for years, with them understanding the system, with the home field that you have,
yeah,
I think that a top four spot by the time that you get to June is a reasonable expectation. I wouldn't be shocked and or surprised, however, if they're on the outside looking in or on the inside getting battled with by the time that we get to June, though.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
I can see how it can go.
You're not panicking if they're out of the playoff picture in June.
No.
But then it's like, all right, gang.
Let's do something.
Got to see some moves.
Yeah.
And who knows? We may see them before the season starts. Also, one thing that came out of that Issa Tall discussion, and I think he's hinting at the thing we hinted at the other day, was, you know, last week on the podcast, I stirred the pot a bit by saying, and I understood what I was doing, but I get it why people, you know, jumped on this, where I said someone who was playing in that, it was Manchester City and Real Madrid game.
They play today, actually.
Yeah, they play the rematch of that game. And I said last week, someone who was on the field in that game, I was told there was interest from the Crew, and it apparently was down to them and maybe, I don't know, a couple of MLS teams or one of their MLS teams or something like that.
Here's what Murph said about it. All
yeah.
Because
right?
Murph actually had the tweet about it. So yeah. Tall said he inquired about one of the better players in the world, and the mm-hmm. money they offered the player was the same as a contract from another MLS team.
Uh-huh.
They told Tall that they would have to play 50% more, and he said the Crew won't do that. I'm assuming Pat meant pay 50% more, play 50%
yeah,
more.
Right. Right. I think that's, I believe that too. So does sound like there was some truth to the idea that they were kicking the tires on it, but maybe it wasn't as close to being done as I was told. Not that it was done, but like it was basically what I was told was it's between two teams and this player is going to have to make a decision sometime in the next few months. Sounds like if that, what Issa Tall is saying, I have no reason to doubt what he's saying, that maybe they were at that point once. And then eventually the negotiations became, we want more to come to Columbus. And he said, absolutely not. And good for him. If it's true and if it's the player that I heard, I absolutely would not want them going above and beyond like that. For those who were asking, I'll give you one other. I'll tell you this.
Just to be fair.
I will directly address the Crew Reddit. I'm not going to say the player's name. But for those of you who are like, they'd never go after that guy. He's too old. The guy you're referencing was the guy that I was told it was.
Yeah.
So go read the Crew Reddit boards and figure it out for yourself. But, like, yeah, that's who I was told it was. It was not a young player. It was not like a Cucho situation. It was definitely a guy who's, like, a name that would sell jerseys. That's what it would have been.
Is he a European national?
I don't want to say anything else. I don't want to say anything else. Because, again, it sounds like whatever it was isn't happening. But, yeah.
It might be a negotiating tactic from agent. Who knows?
It could be. And you know what? If they get that player here, it would be extremely interesting to see the reaction. Like I wouldn't doubt that this player could make some noise in this league.
Pumped.
Yeah.
Pumped.
You would be?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So. I've had a week to stew on it. I'd be
okay.
Pumped.
Yeah. Maybe make some waffles.
Yeah. I've never
maybe
had an opportunity to cheer for this guy, but I know how
maybe you
damn
and I could make some waffles.
So.
We could get some, I don't know, like regular waffles or what's the other one they make that?
Stroop waffles.
Stroop waffles are one. Isn't
yeah,
there a
that's
country
Dutch.
That's famous for their waffles?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of that. Bulgaria.
Bulgarian waffles.
Yeah.
That's what we'll have. Bulgarian waffles.
You can go watch In Bruges if you can tell us where that's at.
Oh, yeah. I got to do my European geography now. I was trying to make another reference. I'm like, actually, I don't know if that's in that country or not. I'm not sure. French fries.
Yes.
Big in that country.
Correct.
In Bruges.
I believe they call them pomfrits.
Pomfrits. I always say frites. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if you have to go
I think it's
up.
Fritz.
Fritz?
Fritz.
Pomfrits.
I think.
Okay, good. Well, anyway, those of you on Reddit who are trying to speculate, hope that helps. Enjoy your... Thank you for listening, by the way. I meant to say that first. Thank you all
Did you
for...
get a Reddit page about that?
There was a Reddit in the Crew Massive. I checked it, and there was a whole thing about, like, on Bone and Beam United, they threw this out there, and then everyone was like... It was so funny, too, because I saw the name, and I'm like, oh, a few people figured it out. And then there were a lot of people like, absolutely not. That's so stupid. They would never do that. That's dumb. And I was like, ah... Again, I don't know that they were ever going to do any of it.
Shoot the messenger.
I'm telling you what I heard that may or may not ever have come to fruition and may not even have been a real thing. Might have been a thing that was put out there to throw everyone off the scent.
God, I hope it does, just so we can say the name of the player.
All the victory lap I will take if that happened.
Yes.
And I, by the way, that I will be forever indebted to my source on that. That will be
which
like
is going
to
be a disaster
dinner.
For you.
It will be. Oh, my
Knowing
God.
Knowing who the source is and what the rumor is. That'll be a long rest of your life.
I believe that source that I have scouted this player.
Mm.
Saw this player play in Europe, I believe.
I've watched him on TV countless times.
We all have.
Good player.
I'm going to say good player.
Good player.
But I don't think it's happening. I'm going to say, based on what Isatal said, not happening.
I think opposite. I do think it's happening now. I think he's running cover for
himself. That's him. Maybe this is him negotiating through the media where he's like, oh, yeah, that guy, we wouldn't even do him. Wouldn't even have him here.
Not even going to bring him into Columbus.
And they're like, well, hang on a second. Hold on. What if we drop it down to 20%? And he's like, but how about you drop it down to a discount? Because it costs less to live here than wherever else he might be looking.
That's a fact,
I don't know where that could be.
Taxes, cost of living,
do you know how much
everything else.
Do you know how expensive it is to live in Minneapolis? It's pricey.
It should be a pay cut to come here.
Yeah, so
2-1 winners on Saturday, by the way.
Oh?
Yeah.
Oh.
2-1 win.
Good for you.
3 points up on the big board.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
That's my prediction.
That's what
crew.
You think is going to happen here?
Yeah. 2-1.
Oh, I thought you were saying something happened in reference to that player. I was like,
No,
I didn't know what we were talking about.
No. They've got a big game coming up today, though.
Boy, there's, yeah, they do. Well, like we mentioned,
they'll
it's
be back
one
in
of
action
two
today.
Of the teams, either Real Madrid or Manchester City, one of those two. I know this.
If
this,
you don't know who we're talking about now,
no.
I can't believe
no,
you haven't
I can't
put
believe
this
you
together.
Haven't figured it out. I can't believe you. They figured it out. Pomfritz,
yeah.
Come on. You figured it out. So end of this all discussion, you're right. I think the crew this weekend, a lot of momentum. An intangible we haven't talked about that should be mentioned for this crew season. How many guys spent the entire offseason chewing nails and being pissed the F off?
Yeah.
That they got bounced in the first round, knowing how good they were. How many guys were there versus how many guys were like, oh, we lost Cucho Hernandez. Oh, we didn't bring, you know, like how many guys, you know, and not just him, right?
Where's your mental?
Yao Yeboah went out the door too. I mean, they've lost other players, you know, Christian Ramirez, like we mentioned. So how many guys are looking at that and going, finally, I get my opportunity. Finally, I have my, like, you know, how many guys are looking at that? How many guys are pissed off from last year who want to go out and right the wrongs? Those are the questions I have. And I believe there's a lot of that. I don't believe this team is sitting around going, you win some, you lose some, no big deal. This might be a down year. They're not thinking that at all. They're pissed off from last year and they want to come out. And that's something that you cannot, a silver lining to having the season end that way is that you can absolutely come out with a fire that helps you get through this early part of the season when you've got some work to do and you've got to show people, especially crew fans, that you're worth believing in, this is the way to do it. So,
yeah, you also have to take in fact that you're going to be thrown into Champions Cup games here in a little bit.
Yeah. How about that? Moving the tonight, as we're recording this, they've moved the Inter-Miami game from last night because they're playing in Kansas City.
Messi scared of a little snow.
Well, I was actually, because, you know, of course, what does this do? People, they move the game because it's too chilly. Oh, like, football would never do that. It's like
negative 19 degrees.
All I will say is I don't know how many of you have people in your life that act like this, but if someone says that to you, all you have to remind them of is like, yes, those big, tough football players that play in the 10-degree weather, they play for like 3 or 4 minutes at a time, and then they go sit on a heated bench with a giant blanket on for an hour until their next time they have to go do something. They get lots of breaks, whereas you're running for 90 minutes and you're out in the elements. You can't have people dropping with frostbite because they're out there exposed.
I'd still be sweating.
Yeah, of course. I'm just saying, like, it's not going to be that much warmer tonight, by the way. I don't think it's going to be like, oh, yeah, it's 50 now. Like, it's still going to be cold.
Works.
Yeah, but if you want to switch to that European calendar,
get ready to
have to learn how to speak.
-19, buddy.
Gonna have to learn how to speak wind chill, buddy. Yeah. Like, it's gonna be cold. So,
you know, it's not the temperature that it gets you; it's the wind.
Uh huh. You think you're going to get the next Lionel Messi or like the next big guy from Europe to come over? It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. By the way, half the season, there will be frostbite advisories. Just FYI.
Just to let you know.
Yeah. That you think it's tough to get people to come to like non like Miami or LA destinations right now? Throw it into the middle of December and January.
In Boston in February.
Okay. I think that might cause it to be even worse for those teams, just for whatever it's worth.
That's a good point.
Anyway, USL, by the way, not to gloss over this, they have put together a plan to challenge MLS.
I like it.
I'd like it if I believed it was real. Like, I'd like it if I believed, okay, they have, so the plan is they have a new first division team, mm-hmm. first division league, that will allow them to have promotion relegation within USL. And of course, the people who are all about pro rel, who believe pro rel is the only thing holding back MLS from becoming like the greatest thing in the world. They feel like now what will happen is there will be a bunch of people who will show up and say, yes, I'd like to put billions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars into the framework of this structure and buy a team and put my USL team on this championship level, this League One thing. And then that will lead MLS teams to go, oh no, maybe we should defect over or merge or something and then have promotion relegation. And I'm just telling you, I shrug as someone who's followed US soccer for 30 years, MLS pro soccer, all of its existence, as someone who has read multiple books on the formation of this league, I struggle to see how there will be 20 plus essentially billionaires that will come in and say, we are willing to take massive losses financially for 5 to 10 years before this thing gets fully going to a level that it could compete with MLS. That is where I'm interested in it. I hope it works. I am just saying, if you think this is going to become a direct challenger to MLS, like in the next 5 to 10 years,
that's a longer road than that.
I struggle to see how that's going to happen. Right. But
it's
a longer road. And that's where I wonder how viable that is. But
well,
tell me why you're optimistic about it, or what you see is positive.
I think the really cool thing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, about European soccer and about the promotion relegation is because, like, sure, you have your big teams, you know, like you have the Man Cities and you have the Chelseas and Arsenals and all those kinds, but you also have your local teams, you know. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if we're going to get to a point where it's going to be a situation where, like, Columbus would have the Crew and then would have somebody else. You know what I mean? Because you're already here. Like, soccer is here in this city. You just built this new $700, $800 million stadium. But I think it's really cool. And I talked to our good buddy, Joe, Manchester Joe, who's back in England, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's a diehard United fan. And we've had him on this podcast before, and we talked about that and what needs to change with that ownership group and everything when it comes to the big team. But Joe also lives right down the street from a team that is in like the fourth tier in English soccer and goes and supports them just as much as he does with United. And he's like, if there is ever a day in which his team, and I think Altrincham maybe is like the name of the team.
Yeah.
He's like, if there's ever a day where they manage to get themselves up to the Premier League, he's like, that's like, you know, 10,000 to 1 odds that that would ever happen.
Of course.
I would be alive to see that even in a place. Because if it does, he's like, they're my team because I support them. They're right down the street from me. I think the idea of having a total grassroots movement to having smaller cities represented by non-billionaires in the communities is something that is really cool. Now, that is a ton of work. That is a ton of money. That's a ton of resources that you have to pool in this together collectively to be able to make this entire situation work.
Yeah,
but I think the inherent idea of it is neat. I don't know how much they're going to be a challenger to the MLS, but I do like that they're getting up there and saying, all right, well, we're going to try it. You know, no one's ever tried it before. We're going to try.
And I should say, I agree with you that the optimism is where we should have optimism. We should live in a world where people taking chances and risks should not instantly be like, bah, it'll never work. I know that's how I sound, and I don't want to be that person about this. What I would say to that, because I agree with you.
Says the guys who said life sucks, then you die at the very beginning of this show.
Right. hey, I like to have a little optimism with my rank cynicism
I throw in all day. Just a little bit, though.
No, and you know what? It would be cool if, to your point, I think it would be awesome if there is a pathway for, what was it, Detroit FC that beat the Crew in U.S. Open?
Or the Riverhounds.
Yeah. It'd be cool if there is a pathway for them to, like, get up into MLS. What I have seen, and this is where my cynicism comes from, is the, you know how FIFA works, right?
Yes.
FIFA's fairly corrupt.
How dare you?
FIFA looks at any opposition, anything that could possibly hurt the bottom line.
Squashes it.
U.S. soccer has aligned with Major League Soccer. The board members of Major League Soccer and U.S. Soccer, they flip-flop, they go back and forth. The people who one day run an MLS team, the next day are a junior vice president up at U.S. Soccer, and then they're back over at the Don Garber's, you know, right-hand man, whatever. Like, that's just how it works. Like, so that's where my cynicism comes in and says, that's cool. Like, I do think the USL is such a cool product. Like, God, I can't even say it without it sounding patronizing. Like, I'm being like, isn't that nice for you that you have that? But, like, Lou City, I like what they're doing with their women's team, their men's team. I've seen their stadium. I've not been to a game. I want to go this summer and check out either a women's or men's game because I think that's just a cool thing that they have built that from the ground up. They did get investment. They have a good fan base there. And if you have 30 of those that can then pop into like a first division and challenge MLS, I'd love to see it. Or 20. You don't need 30. You need about 20, I would say. And then you get promotion relegation going. That will be a thing. My cynicism comes from the fact that in this building where you and I work in sports media on one of the largest sports radio stations in the country, and we also have a TV channel here too with a bunch of people who cover sports, cover the news, cover all that, I would say about half the people that we work with look at MLS as a minor league thing.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as any disparagement to them. They're using their senses and their understanding of sports. Our job is to get eyeballs and ears, right? Our job is to get people to pay attention to us. And they have learned how to do that effectively. That's why we all work here, is because we're good at getting people to pay attention to what we have to say and what we think. That doesn't happen by going and saying, guys, did you see what happened in the USL game this past week?
Yeah.
Like, they view MLS as more like, did you see, not the Crew. I'm not talking about the Crew. A lot of people here get the fact that the Crew is a big deal in the city and is a major league thing. But if you ask someone here to name three players off of Nashville or New York Red Bull or a non-Inter Miami or LA team, most, if all of them, would even say, I don't even know if I know what the name of that team is.
Yeah.
I think there's a decent number of people who work here who cover sports for a living who would struggle to tell you all the teams currently in MLS. And so what I'm saying is that's what you have to break through, is media coverage of your events. That is the name of the game. And we are in an MLS market, and that is where soccer is on the radar for a lot of people in sports media.
I get that.
That is where my cynicism comes in, is that it has taken a long time for the Crew to get the respect they deserve and should have gotten more from the beginning. But they've got it now here in this town. You have to work a lot harder to get this league that same level of credit and respect. And go to New York, go to Chicago, go to LA, go to Miami, even with Messi there, and tell me how much of their coverage centers around that, or if the Dolphins fart, which one gets bigger play, right? Yeah. If, you know, tomorrow Tyreek Hill says something, or Messi scores four goals in this game tonight, which one's going to lead? It's going to be Tyreek Hill. It's going to be stuff to do with the Heat, with the Jimmy Butler thing. Like,
yeah,
that coverage is going to take over because there's just more investment in it. So I'm not trying to ruin everybody's dreams. I am saying that is one of, from a media perspective, that's not the only perspective that matters. There's a lot of non-traditional media that people get coverage from, but that is where my cynicism comes from. As someone who's been in sports media now for 15 plus years and media in general for 25.
That are like, also going to have MLS and U.S. soccer trying to squash them like a bug.
Yeah, and all the factors that you have there, right? Like, there will be independent journalists who will absolutely cover it all and talk about it well. I will give you this, too. A piece of reading that I would encourage anyone to go check out. Bo Durr is a guy who wrote a book
Bill Bravsky.
I'm trying to remember the name of the book. I'm pulling it up real quick. But he wrote a book probably back in, It's probably been at least 10 years ago that this book came out, but it is about like the success story of Major League Soccer. And it talks about how the league was formed, how they even got this put together, how it almost cratered and fell apart, and then who saved it. And it's a, if you don't know the history of the league from the like off the field perspective, it's very good, but it's like 200 pages maybe.
Okay.
It's called Long Range Goals. That's the name of the book. Bo Durr has covered U.S. soccer for years. Last name spelled D-U-R-E. Long Range Goals, the success story of Major League Soccer.
Good double entendre.
Yeah, right. So go find that. But if you are legitimately like, I don't see what you're saying at all, T-Bone, I don't understand anything of why you would be so cynical about this, go read that book. And I'm not saying the author is even cynical about it. I don't know how he feels about it. What I'm saying is I read that book years ago, and that has given me a perspective on how difficult it is to get traction for your league and how hard it is to start something. USL has done a great job. It's, you're going up against a machine in MLS that it itself is still struggling for relevance.
Sure.
But it is definitely not going to tolerate anyone coming up and trying to take any of their, if you think an owner is going to defect from MLS to go over to USL, I don't think that's going to be likely.
No.
Because I think that's what I'm saying is you're going to have to go find another 20 people with that type of cash who maybe you will. Heck, maybe this, maybe the PIF, the public investment fund, the Saudi, maybe they'll come in and just fund the whole league and it'll be all okay. Then I would believe, like, if there's backing like that, then maybe they got a chance, but it's going to take a lot. Is
they're also worth trillions of dollars.
Yeah. I'm saying that's the level that you have to have some multiple well-heeled or someone who's got the money of a Bezos, Musk.
And doesn't care.
Does not care if it loses money for 10 years.
Will
gladly put, and just wants the challenge of like, I want to put the Chicago Fire out of business.
Yeah.
I want to put Atlanta United out of business. Like, go, okay. But that's what I'm saying is you're going to have to do something like that because it will not be all these MLS teams just jump over and say, oh, cool, now we're in USL.
No.
And we can lose and be in the third division in 2 years. On their hundreds of millions of dollar investment.
No.
I don't think a lot of MLS owners are going to be very interested in that. So, all right. Hey, life sucks. We all die. There we go.
Yeah, back. I was excited about that. And then you kind of squashed that for me.
I'd love to believe it could happen. I think MLS deserves a challenge. And I would love to see something like that occur. Now I've laid out the case of why I struggle with. But I'm telling you, if you read that Long Range Goals book and come back from that and say, yeah, I still think it's possible, educate me on where you think that is, because I am willing to learn. I would love to hear.
I'm going to fight you next
week. Please do. Please do. All right. That's it for us. Enjoy all the Champions League. Next week, we'll know where everybody's seated, and we can actually talk about Champions League like it's real again. And, yeah, that's all I got, buddy.
Go Crew. We can talk about Manchester United relegation battle next week, too, when they lose to Everton this weekend.
Yeah, it's, boy.
Life sucks and you die.
That's
having a good time.
All right, that's it for us. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.